When the passionate bleed, I put my everything into it, you can have it for free. Been sinking like a capsule or a captain at sea, so it's hard to take control from the passenger seat. Art gets created when the passionate bleed, I put my everything into it, you can have it for free. Been sinking like a capsule or a captain at sea, so it's hard to take control from the passenger seat. My sad thoughts are like black dots. You could draw a line connecting me to the bad spots I cast off. Mad props, the world moves but the past stops. It fast walks with no glance at my glass box. Can't make a scene cause they can't intervene. I imagine it's a dream, don't panic and scream, but it's a losing battle. Snakes with no rattles, only black shadows upstream with no paddles. Then the need takes over to bleed on the page slower. I'll be a supernova, bring me in space closer. I just float away, the only way that I made okay. Inside a place where my mind doesn't face the pain. What I felt's left me strange and unwell. Stuck between flame and hell, and I aim to prevail. I'm painting to scale the gold that hangs on the shelf, but every time I run away, I'm still chaining myself. Art gets created when the passionate bleed, I put my everything into it, you can have it for free. Been sinking like a capsule or a captain at sea, so it's hard to take control from the passenger seat. Art gets created when the passionate bleed, I put my everything into it, you can have it for free. Been sinking like a capsule or a captain at sea, so it's hard to take control from the passenger seat. Talking about my bruises, often and out in music. Thought that I sounded stupid, the problem I found is hubris. Possibly the fact that the opposite is conducive, or maybe it's just a trap and the process is just imprudent. Hoping that an empty smile compliments a broken laugh. Every day closer to death, trying to close the gap. A beating heart bleeding inside of an open gash, swinging back and forth while I'm waiting for this fucking rope to snap. Thought that I've been fine while walking a thin line, colliding with my destiny, option has always been mine. Partially ahead of it, but harping in my head again. I'm arguing the scars that are largely getting credited. Trying to find my place inside of this melting pot. Decided to set the pace, in life I was dealt a flop. To know I'm not alone surprisingly helps a lot. I guess X said it best, it's dark and hell is hot, let's go. Art gets created when the passionate bleed, I put my everything into it, you can have it for free. Been sinking like a capsule or a captain at sea, so it's hard to take control from the passenger seat. Art gets created when the passionate bleed, I put my everything into it, you can have it for free. Been sinking like a capsule or a captain at sea, so it's hard to take control from the passenger seat.
Welcome, everybody.
And your boy, Maz. And today we got some special guests for y'all tonight. We got the hip-hop trio, Glass Tongue.
Hey, yay, yay.
Yeah.
Welcome, y'all.
Thank you. Thank you for having us, man. We appreciate you guys.
Seriously. Of course. Yeah.
Glad we could make this work. Thank you for scheduling with us. I know we're a little sporadic right now, but thank you, guys. We appreciate it.
Got to get our hip-hop out here, local hip-hop, man.
Yeah, no. I mean, you're doing something great for the community, so thank you for that, too. Seriously. I mean, it's far and few between that somebody or anybody does something of this stature for the community, so hats off to you guys already.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Shout out to Mrs. Pearl as well, Dan Hubbard as well.
Absolutely. The Hubs, man. One Vision Entertainment.
Yeah, One Vision. Yeah, shout out to them.
Absolutely.
Oh, man, that's great. Let's start off with just some introductions with you guys.
What's up, everyone? I'm Morale, one of the MCs of Glass Tongue.
All right.
That's right.
I go by Junes. I'm the other MC of Glass Tongue.
I'm DJ A. Mills, the DJ for Glass Tongue.
And that's us, the trio, old Rap Dad Trio.
Warm welcome. Alrighty, I want to start off with one question for you guys. Did you guys start music early in your life, or was it something that you guys started at a later thing?
I'll go first on that. Music's always been a part of my life. My father's a musician. I've been around music and live shows since I was a baby. There's pictures of me on stage in like diapers and stuff like that with like a little fake guitar. But as far as me doing music, I don't play any instruments, and I didn't really start rapping, like writing stuff down until I was like 20. Wow. So I'm a kind of a late bloomer to that. But that's pretty much it for me. I've always been around the music, but never really jumped into a little bit later until I felt confident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was one of them things where you just kind of like, you knew you had a gift. It was always something that you could express.
Yeah. Always loved music, all different kinds of music, listening to it, huge fan of it. But yeah, nothing, I didn't think that I had anything serious until I was about 20, until I started showing people stuff and trying to find other people that were rapping and felt comfortable to freestyle in front of people. It was pretty far and few between. But I can't say that's for me. me. I don't know about morale.
My parents like played a wide variety of music when I was growing up, so I was always like addicted to hearing different music. And then I always wrote a lot in English class. Young, I was writing, but it wasn't until 17 years old that I really tried to write over a beat to rhyme. Okay. So I mean, freestyle at high school parties, and I was like, and then it just kept going from there, and eventually led to us meeting.
Wow. That's amazing right there. Like June's, I've been submersing music my whole life. My dad's a DJ as well. He's a drumming DJ, boogeyman. He's been playing music since the 60s. So I've always had something music. Got turntables. Well, my friend got turntables, and I played them more than him, pretty much.
Yeah.
In about 2003 or so. So, I was about 18, 19, and addicted and never stopped.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Some of them scratches I've heard. Oh. Some of those songs, they're amazing.
A lot of practice.
Oh, I could imagine some of them. I could just feel your soul in them. I could just feel it moving. Like, oh man,
for real.
It's crazy about that, because I was like, when I was like 16, I walked into Guitar Center. He worked there at the time, and they have those display turntables.
Yeah.
And he was just destroying them. I was in amazed. I'd never seen anything like that in real life. And I was just like, oh my God, like that's the stuff I hear.
Yeah, we've known about A-Mills far before we were lucky enough to have him as a part of our group. He used to work with an old school MC back in the day who was, I mean, he had something going for him, Tree Woods.
Oh.
And he, I mean, I always looked up to A-Mills. And when we asked him to be a part of our album and do some scratches, it just worked so naturally. He was like, why not just do this all the time? Yeah. So it's like, I still feel lucky. That's why we're always like, dude. This guy's not just standing back there doing nothing. He's over there. I mean, he's really doing some spicy stuff. He's back there chopping salsa.
Hats off to you. Hats off to all of y'all. Because, like what I saw was raw talent from all y'all. Lyricisms, the pass offs, everything.
And it's just wild, because after that day that I met him there, I didn't see him for like so many years. And then when me and Junes got together, he was like, yeah, I know DJ A-Mills. I was like, what? Like, I couldn't. It was randomly like full circle.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Stars align.
We've all done stuff separate, like with different groups before we came together. So we have all kind of put in work before we started Glass Tongue.
Yeah.
Very true.
So definitely came from different foundations before it was made.
I think, all of us had like a good couple of years, at least 5 years working with other people, playing shows, building consistently, writing songs, recording prior to all of us meeting each other and like working on something. So we got to get through all of the beginning stages of learning how to work with people and learn that stuff. We were already kind of prepared for it and was just ready to jump in feet first.
Yeah, just knew how to work around everything.
Yeah, that's pretty, I was in a different group. He had been in a different group. So. Yep.
Yeah. And y'all got together like in 2016, right?
Yeah, that's when all three of us formed. It was him and I first for like 8 months. And we just were kind of like writing songs together and figuring out the first album. And when we did that album, we were like, we need like a good DJ who knows how to scratch. And we got this DJ who was like a party DJ, plays like mixes songs. He doesn't know how to scratch. And he was like, you want me to scratch? Like, oh, I can't do that. And we were kind of stumped for a little bit, and then I remembered that A-Mills here is a master at it, and as soon as we did the first song together, it was like, this is perfect. So 2016 is when we officially sparked it off, started playing shows together, released our first project, and it's kind of been full steam ahead ever since, besides COVID, obviously.
Besides COVID, that took a lot of everything away for a year and a half. So
I mean, we were scared. We didn't know what the industry was going to be like. We didn't know shows were going to be the same. It was, I was pretty terrified, but I'm glad things are kicking off, you know. Reno is back and banging, so.
Yeah, back and better than ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
It is, really.
Yeah.
Shout out Jem Jems, though.
I know. Shout out Jem Jems. RIP, I love that place, man. God dang.
Such a staple.
It was. I mean, so many shows there, so many memories there. It's like, I wish there would be some kind of law or something to like hold that place sacred, so it'd just be a venue always. You know,
I mean,
we need something that's always going to be a venue that won't get closed down. I mean, we got some good venues now. Don't get me wrong, Cypress and Bluebird and what other ones do we play at? I mean, Virginia Street Brew House. Yeah. Those are all great, but Jub Jub's was just like the spot.
It was the spot.
That was.
Yeah, for sure.
Damn, yeah. Miss that place.
Bring a tear to my eye.
I know, for real. So many people wanted to buy that building back once it closed down. They were just like, let's just start. I'll be honest with you. I have a feeling somebody will one day.
I hope so. I think it's just a flooring warehouse now. They just put flooring in it. It's like, what? What? Why?
Damn. Crazy world.
All right, so what made you guys think about the name of Glass Tongue?
Oh, that's a good one. That came a little bit prior to A-Mills. It was right before we actually started working with A-Mills, and we entered a project flow and won it. And we didn't have a name yet. We were just going by Junes and Morale. And that was like on the flyer. We played a couple shows together, and we were just kind of like in this weird like position where we didn't know what we were going to do. And we're like, all right, we just got invited to LA from winning this contest. If we go down there, we should be a little bit more official and like have a name and not just be Junes and Morale. Because we had like almost an EP ready to go as far as beats and stuff like that. So after we won the competition, we were walking to the gas station behind the venue. And I was like, we need to come up with a name, something like Glass Tongue. And he's like, I don't know, that's pretty good. But the way we spelt it is a little bit different. Obviously, it's spelt T-U-N-G. And it's like glass is breakable, you know, sometimes fragile. But tungsten, T-U-N-G, tungsten is one of the hardest elements, you know, and it's a natural element too. It's one of the hardest metals on the planet. So it's like an oxymoron type of name. Yeah. So it's just something that kind of sticks out and has a little bit of a meaning, but there's nothing really too significant. It was more of like, we need something now, and we wanted it to be a little bit creative. And it was like a split decision, and we ran with it. It's worked pretty good so far.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Not meant to be, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
It's working.
Yeah, I would say so. Describe your creative processes if you guys would like, you know, doing your creativity with music, you know.
I want A-Mills to answer this first because I'm curious about this with him because he's very creative. He does all types of different stuff, so.
Well, with me, it usually starts with vinyl records. I bought a huge lot of them off of either eBay or something, one of the selling things. I've got a whole garage full of records, basically. Mm-hmm. They said we have maybe 300 or 400 records. And I get there, and it's, like, filled our whole entire car. It was, like, 1,500 to 1,700, probably.
Whoa.
A smorgasbord of records to listen to.
Whoa.
So I've been kind of sorting through those for years and searching for samples, just anything that catches my ear that I want to kind of mess with. And then I, on stage, I bring with me a 505, RC-505, made by Boss. And it's a 5-track looper, basically. Hmm. And during one little part of the set, I use that to create the beat, like, just live on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll kind of organize my samples before so I know what's going to come up when I don't have to look at the computer, really. I just kind of twist a knob and it goes down to my samples.
Yeah.
So then from there, I have the guitar, whatever I start with. The main sample that everything kind of follows is on my right turntable. And then I add drums, either play them with samples that I've also organized via MIDI and Serato. Go through I don't know if you guys make beats or anything, but you just go through kick, snare. I have just for hours. Layer those into that, assign them to the pads, and then add the drums, usually some type of melody or bass line. And then from there, I usually find a song that has different samples about scratching or just stuff that to me either sounds funny or just sounds dope.
Yeah.
And start scratching from there and hit save or hit delete. So it's pretty much just, yeah, records that develop into beats.
Just like that.
Hey, that's old school. That's old school right there.
When we're on stage, I'm like, he's not just standing back here, and that's exactly what I mean. Yep. I mean, when he's doing stuff, it's like something different. Like, we just got a bigger screen for the front of his table with a camera that's looking over so people in the crowd can see what he's doing from a top view. So we're like trying to add another live dynamic or element to the live show. Yeah.
That's really interesting right there.
Yeah.
I mean, think that'd be a crazy way to, like, that's an amazing way to, like, make a DJ have their
creative process be shown throughout a show, because exactly. most people see the MC or overlook the beat just because they hear a nice bounce. It gives you time to just take a look at everybody's talent.
That's exactly what we feel about it. We want to showcase what he's actually doing, because I mean, he not only does he scratch and crab scratch and juggle, and he does all types of stuff. I mean,
yeah,
he used to do like 360 spins behind his back under his leg. Like, he'll do the old school stuff, the new school stuff. Yeah, I mean, he's a master of many skills. I mean, that's why I wanted him to go first, because my creative process is pretty basic. I mean, it depends on if we're making the beat ourselves or if we've gotten a beat from one of the producers we work with. Could be either or, but it usually starts with one of us writing a verse, and whoever writes first is kind of sets the tone of the song. Sometimes it might be a hook, but yeah, whoever writes first usually sets the tone of the song between him and I, and then we just send it to the other person, and once they finish the verse, we'll come together and we record together usually, and then we'll send it over to Emil's, and he'll scratch and do his thing by himself, like at his house, and then he'll send it back and be like, look what I did, and it's just some amazing thing. Yeah. So
that's amazing. Like, you could just completely rely on just what you send. You're just like, hey, I'm gonna send this off, boom, and then you get a perfect scratch, come back, and it's just like, it feels like you guys are connecting pieces of the puzzle at that point.
They'll record their vocals, and on a lot of the songs, you'll notice the scratches are them, their voices, and I just upload those into Serato, and then I can cut those up and kind of use them as samples.
That's amazing right there. That's amazing right there.
That is a hack for all you young bucks out there. If you're worried about getting samples or anything like that, getting your songs taken off of sites because you're using a sample that didn't get cleared or something like that, use your own voice and sample your own voice. You can pitch it up, pitch it down, have the DJ scratch it. You can do it. We do it all the time. We have like a chop and screwed part of one of our songs in the beginning of it, and it's a sample of my voice, and you wouldn't even know. So, yeah.
Use your voice as an instrument.
Absolutely.
You guys make most of your beats?
It's about 50-50. If they're produced by us, they're normally produced by Morale with a touch of me. He'll make the foundation of the beat usually, right? You usually like make the drums and the sample. You'll have that first.
Yeah, like I'll find something. I think I'm like, okay, this might be hot, and then I'll put like a little rough sketch together, and then I'll show him, like, you would like this, and be like, yep, and then he'll come over, we'll meet up again, and then fine-tune it with what we want, if we want to add it, what types of snares, what types of kicks, bass line.
That's, usually I'm very picky about that. I'll go to his house and be like, we'll listen to, like he said, 100 snares, and I'm like, I want a certain snare, and that's where I come in. I'm like, let's add, if you hear a beat with a drum roll, that would be me. If our beat has a drum roll going in or out of the hook, that's my shit. I love that. So I'm always like, yeah, he'll basically make most of the beat, and I'll come over and be like, here's my opinion. I think we should drop this out. The beat should drop here. Drum roll here. We'll do a different hi-hat. And he's so good at these programs that he's just like, changes it all up, and there we go. So it's about 50-50 for as far as what we make versus what we purchase from the producers we use. Don't ask for beats for free. Guys out there. Pay your producers, man. It's not easy to make a beat, so I mean, pay your producers.
Yeah, at the beginning, like when we first started, I had a lot of beats that I had been making, so a lot of it was definitely me, like in the first part.
The very first album was 100% him.
But over the years, like if we hear something, or sometimes it's just we just want to get on a different beat that isn't ours, and then but all the lives, everything that you've heard from us, if you've seen us live, is 100% like him. When he makes a beat and everything like that, like that's all from him and what he does with his turntables on stage. And now it's like trying to mix a lot more, like hopefully a lot more of his production is what we're actually rhyming over, and also at the same time
I see more of a live element
rather
than like you said, you could have the scratch,
the whole band on my turntable.
Yeah, like you said, how you had the loop, how you could just start. Like, it's basically like, instead of just, you're making your own beat right then and there, and you could just sequence it the whole way through.
Yeah, well, sequences, I don't even know what that means, really, because I just do everything. I have a sample, and then I just, that's why I tell them, I'm down to do it if you guys are down for a slight variation, perhaps, each time we do it, because I'm a human. I'm not a computer, and I don't save stuff. I just do it all then.
Yeah, it's just how you feel.
Yeah.
You know,
it's similar, but it's not always 100%.
That's all right. Yeah, that's
it's always 100% dope though.
We're gonna
I can say that.
Probably move you a little closer this way to the table because we can't see you in the camera.
I'll scoot on over, bro.
Okay. Oh.
Let's get you over here.
Oh yeah. Look. All right. What's up? I'm just a ghost before this.
The ghost in the camera.
Yeah.
Perfect. Is that as far as it goes right there? Oh, okay, there we go.
That's good. Okay.
All right.
All right. All good.
I'm in there.
There you go.
In like Flynn.
Yeah.
That's right.
All right.
All right, so let's go with another question.
All right, cool.
So what's some of your guys' like main inspirations, whether it's artists, you know, artist-wise, music-wise, genre-wise, influential, like piano, whatever it may be?
You can go first, Morrell.
I'm very lyric driven. Like first, like I when I first heard hip hop, I was not even really paying attention to the beat. It was just what they were saying, and that was like Big L, Nas, like real East Coast, old school '90s, like you know DMX. Of course, you had the West Coast, like Dre and Snoop and everybody from that era, because that's like kind of when I grew up. But
yeah.
As soon as I heard Gangstar and anything DJ Premier made, it was over. That was like, that's hip hop to me. So,
DJ Premier's hard.
Yeah. And so to me, you could have the coolest beat, whatever, but you got to be saying something dope. You have to be a lyricist, or it's mute.
I agree on that. You got to have something to say, you know?
Yeah.
Whether it's emotion or anything. Mm-hmm. Make sure you're outreaching to who you want to outreach to.
Definitely.
What about yourself?
For me, it's more beat driven. I'm obviously inspired by a bunch of DJs. Beat Junkies are huge. I think it was Ugly Duckling actually. They had some scratches on their song. I'm like, what is that? And then I kind of investigated, ended up with some turntables or access to turntables and started trying to mimic it. I never really had like lessons, or it was kind of pre-YouTube when I started. Or yeah. If YouTube was around, I wasn't using it. And just trying to make the sounds that I heard. But you could find the samples because everybody was using similar break records, like Super Duck and different Dirt Style, different break records that have the sounds that they all use, kind of. Mm-hmm. So I would find those and then just sit there and practice for hours. And so yeah, Beat Junkies, Babu, Melody, DJ Craze, this guy DJ Manuel, Q-Bert, of course, but he scratches Hamster, so I couldn't really learn much, but he's dope. Hamster's when you reverse the crossfader, so when you're cutting in, your thumb's pushing it.
Mm.
And the way I scratch is, I guess, regular. When your middle finger comes in, it cuts the sound on. So, yeah, he has like a whole scratchlopedia type deal. If you look on YouTube, there's like billions of scratches he's made, and he teaches you how to do them all, but they're all, I could probably figure it out, but it's all backwards. So I just kind of figured it out by listening.
That's crazy.
Wow, that is.
That is an interesting way.
DJing is definitely something that's
Dude, it's like playing the craziest instrument ever. I always say that. I'm like, dude, it's the hardest thing to do. You have to know how, especially if you're scratching like that. And if you're like juggling records and making a beat out of the same two records, like it's a whole different planet. It's not like playing the guitar, the piano, or accordion or anything. It's crazy, dude. It's so hard. And people don't understand that. They assume that it's probably not that hard. And it's like, it's so hard. It's so damn hard.
So hard.
Yeah. It's like when a person wants to become a DJ in a day, but then realizes after they get the equipment, they're like, oh, this is going to take some years.
Absolutely. Or
maybe some more of a lifetime.
Yeah, it's not easy. I mean, I
had turntables before we like met up with him, and literally the day after I went to his house and he was doing whatever, I sold them. I sold my turntables the day. I was like, I'm never going to be like that.
He did.
It's not for me.
That's respectful. Man. That's respectful. You're just like, man, I just know now.
It's over. Yep. No.
Yeah. Man, too much.
But you can answer next if you want his question, you know. Oh, you went first. Sorry. Yeah. Okay. It's my turn now. Yeah. Well, I'm a little bit different than both of them. He's very like, Morrell's very like 90s boom bap driven. You can tell he's a very lyric driven. He's like got bars on bars on bars forever in every song. Mm-hmm. I'm inspired by like indie rock and like some like old school country. And like, obviously I grew up on the same like hip hop he did. I was more of like, I was like found Tupac. Then I found Wu-Tang. Then I found Nas. Then I found all the East Coast stuff. And I thought that was all great because my older brother listened to it. But what really stuck out to me was Big L as well. And I think that's why him and I fit so well on a lot of stuff, is because we see the same thing in the way we write and the way we want our songs to be structured and like what we're trying to say. And I think that comes from the, you know, the golden era hip hop, like, you know, Nas and, you know, Big L. Ebonics is one of my favorite songs still. It's like, it's just, you know, when you're a young kid and you find that culture of hip hop where it's like this entire universe, they have their own language, their own words that mean, it's like reading a book or something, you know what I'm saying? But it's real life. Yeah. So it's like, that's what got me involved. But nowadays, my inspiration comes from so much different stuff, like trap music, like weird indie songs. My it's all over the place as far as my inspiration, because I don't have a certain writing style. I'll write over a double time beat. I'll write over like an indie beat, like an emo style song. I'll write, you know, over just like do bars, like, so I'm kind of all over the place as far as my inspiration. It's you can't really pinpoint it. One day it's this, one day it's that. That's sometimes why we don't make a lot of music, because I will start writing a verse about this, and then I move over here and start writing this. Yeah. And then eventually we've got four songs done. We're like, all right, it just, it's a lot of weird puzzle pieces inside my brain. So
yeah, it's like how it aligns.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it might come together. You'd be like, I got four pieces. Exactly. The next thing you know, four songs come out and then four different vibes.
That's how our last projects were. It was like, we were just writing these different songs, like pieces of them. And then all of a sudden we're like, that song's done. This one's almost done. That one's done. Oh, we have an EP. And it was like, we didn't have anything finished, and all of a sudden, in like 2 months, we had an album ready to start sending to mastering. So we're like, oh, okay. It works. However it works, it works.
Yeah.
Keep pushing.
Yeah.
Yeah. For reals on that. Any questions you got?
Yeah. Do you guys feel like your styles evolved since the start, from when you guys began?
Yeah, absolutely. I think mine has. Personally, Morale's always been a really, really, really dope MC to me. That's the reason he was winning all of the Sweet 16 contests for like 3 months in a row, every single week. Nobody could take him out. The only person that did it was the guy I used to rap with, Libs. And it was like him and Morale were the two like top MCs as far as bar-wise in the city for a long time. And I feel like he's just gotten better. He's always been good. But I used to struggle with like structure and writing. I would try to fit a lot into songs and try to say more than I needed to. Sometimes less is more. You don't always need to try to say exactly what you're thinking. You can get the message across a lot easier. I feel personally I've developed a lot. I find it easier to write songs now. I used to really like stress about it and struggle, and now I just let them naturally happen. And some of my favorite stuff I've ever written has been the Glass Tongue stuff that we've done. Some of my favorite verses that are like honest and real, like some of our serious songs, but they're still like really like structured rhyme wise it's like, yeah, I think I've developed a lot as far as a rapper. I don't know about Emils. He's always been a good ass DJ. I don't know if he's gotten better. I think he's just always been good at it, but he has progressed in stuff he's done, because when we first started, he didn't have a beat, he didn't do the looper or anything like that. I mean, he stepped his game up and learned all this stuff too as well. So
yep, just practice really. I always wanted to do it, but I couldn't find the machine, because most loop stuff is done with your foot. Guitar players like invented them, I guess. I don't know. But I found one that I can do with my hands, so I can start on the one with kind of both fingers. And since that's happened, it's kind of blown everything up as far as what I might be able to do or what we might be able to do. Because now, it, like we said before, it'll be like almost like having a live band backing some dope MCs. So, yeah, I've definitely evolved with that. And then scratch wise, I feel like I haven't really practiced as much and tried to learn new scratches, which I kind of feel sad about, but I feel like I've maybe gotten a little more flavorful, because I do know the scratches that I do know, so I just add them in differently than I used to. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just kind of think of stuff slightly different when it comes to the basic scratches that I do know. So don't expect much technicality, but this stuff should sound cool.
Yeah, that's good. When you have one part you got good, you know, just stick with it, variate it, and then,
yeah,
you
like
know.
I said, Premier, I mean, he's one of the greats, and it's all pretty simple stuff, but it's dope as hell.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah, I go crazy.
It's the only way so far. People stop listening when you get too complicated.
I agree. That's one thing that people at the top say. They literally say, don't make it too complicated. Everything's simple.
Learning that.
Even see it with producers and everything, online, everything. They just show you. Just a couple little simple keys. All absolutely. Those things.
Very true.
Little goes a long way.
100% it does. And, yeah, I mean, I feel like I've definitely evolved since I started. I've been, like, rhyming for maybe 14 years now, 16, somewhere in there. And, like, I felt like I could always put together some cool, flashy bars that are, you could sit there and go, whoa, like, that's kind of cool. But, it wasn't till like, I got to with him that, like, the storytelling and painting, like, an actual picture, like, that's, like, when I used to listen to his old group, the Have To, like, their ability to paint these pictures was crazy. Like, I could see that. And, like, I felt like I was flashy, but the picture wasn't as like, lasting or vivid as I wanted it to be. So I feel like we've sort of rubbed off a little bit on each other.
Definitely learned from each other, yeah. For sure.
And we've kind of have, like, we've rubbed off on each other, but our perspectives are still different about the same topic. So it's really worked randomly, but... Yeah, I don't think I'd be as evolved as I am now if I wasn't in Glass Tongue. I think I just would have kept going without working with a different MC who has such a different perspective that it's just been crazy. But evolving just with time, like, you understand so much about how to write and what, yeah, like, how to write a song, like you were saying. Like, used to be very difficult, but now it seems a little more easier. a little more easier. I'm good. I got this, guys.
I know that feeling.
Yeah, and just how you want to structure it. Like, a lot of times, I know how the song's gonna end. I just need to write the beginning. So, you know, you sort of know what you want the longer you do it. So, yeah, double sided answer, but yeah,
I get that too. I get that to a very good extent. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, with writing music, it's a whole creative process, and. Yeah, I'd agree to that.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful, yeah. All right, so I got a question for you guys. What would be a message you like to give to your fans and people out there that are watching your movement, or just people that maybe haven't met your movement yet that you'd like to give a message to?
Well, I want to say thank you to everybody who supports us,
yes.
who has supported us, everybody that's given us shows, whether it's local or in Portland or, you know, in San Francisco or LA, anybody that's ever messed with us and given us a chance, thank you. First off, because without you guys, we wouldn't be where we're at. We wouldn't have the drive we have to try to do what we're doing. If we were just spinning our tires and not making any progress, it probably would have ended a few years ago. But we've been blessed with some good opportunities. You know, we've worked with some local promoters for years and years and years, and we've built a really good rapport with them. To the point where they'll sometimes contact us about shows that we're not even going to play and be like, how do you think the show would do in this area? Like, and that means so much to us that they value our opinion and stuff like that. So thank you to everybody. And I mean, anybody who hasn't met us, come see us live. I mean, I think that's our best aspect. You can always listen to our music for free on Spotify and all that stuff, but I think we really hit hard live. We put on a really good live show. And we are fun to hang out with. I mean, me and this gentleman can party pretty damn hard. Emil's is usually the more responsible one. We'll have a beer or two every now and then, but he's smart about it. We'll go off the deep end every now and then. So we're a good time.
Hey, always good to have a little bit of fun. Or
right?
A lot of it.
Every now and then, you got to let loose. I mean, it can't be all business.
Yeah.
That's agreed. You got to have some. Loosen up a bit, you know.
I agree. Absolutely.
Yeah. And, Never stop pushing. Like, if I could tell you anything, we all would agree, but from personally, never stop pushing. Doesn't matter what's got you down, what you're facing, just keep sending it, because the more you do it, the more you get back. It's never over. Just keep going.
100%.
Preach. Amen to that.
For me, short and sweet. Just thanks to everybody that's listened or might listen after this, and thanks to you guys for having us on here. It's pretty awesome to get the chance.
Thank you.
Never really done anything like this, minus the podcast, but
yeah, right?
I didn't say very much on there, so this kind of forced me to talk a little more. So thank you guys.
Hey, grateful to have you. Grateful for this to be the first episode as well.
Yeah, you're breaking him out of the shell, man. I like it. You guys are doing good.
Hey,
he doesn't even talk this much to us.
Hey, that's kidding, amazing. Kidding, that's amazing.
Just joking. Just joking. All
right. You want to do the next one?
Yeah. What do you guys enjoy the most about doing the whole music thing and like being a musician and chasing your dreams, basically?
How about it, Morrell? You answer this one first.
Well, for me, it's a little crazy because I got in a gnarly accident a long time ago, very short story, I'm not even supposed to be here. So the fact that it's even happening to me, I still am like, whoa, like I still get to do it is cool. But man, there's so much that like I don't even like, yeah. Gosh. Yeah, I enjoy, it's amazing to me that I can write something and think it's cool and another person can get something out of that, positive, enjoy it, take it, have it, think it's cool, whatever that is, that's still mind-blowing to me. So
mine's pretty close to that, but mine is more in the live show aspect. The fact that we can play a show in front of, let's say, 300 people and 200 of them easy don't know who we are, and our music will resonate with them and they'll accept us. That's such a powerful thing to see in person, right in front of your face, because they either accept you or deny you, and you have to take it. You know, it's like if they don't mess with you, then you try to figure out how can we change that and try to make it better. So it's the same as him. You know, it's the fact that the music we write about our lives and what we go through with music is accepted by strangers, essentially, is my favorite part. My least favorite part is recording. I hate recording. I'm so bad at it. It takes me forever. I love live performing, though.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah, I like performing live, too. Kind of puts you on the spot. Gets you nervous every time. Still got to get up there and perform. But my most favorite thing, I just like hearing new music. Just for the first time, that you can never hear a song for the first time again. So just being able to hear new music all the time that they/we make is pretty awesome. Even anybody else that makes it, I just like hearing all new music. Something about it gets me going.
All in.
Yes. All in an element, you know.
that was a very very like heartfelt answer. I like that.
Oh.
All right, so I got a fun one for y'all. What was your first concert ever that you guys performed at?
Ooh, that's a good question. First one that I ever performed at was, would have been a local show here in Reno, actually in Sparks, at the Alley. And it was, I mean, a long time ago. I think Venomous Inc. was the group.
Yes.
And it was like Mecca and J1.
Yes.
Yeah, it was like, they were like the dudes doing stuff. They were rapping before I was rapping.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a long time ago, and I definitely shouldn't have been playing a show at that time. Definitely should have been working on my writing, learning how to write a good song before I was out there. But I guess that's why I like performing so much, is because it's like the first thing I did. I think I performed before I recorded a song.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
That's a cool one.
Oh man, I back in the day, the club Tonic used to let you play hip-hop shows there. And I played my first show with a group called Missing Pieces. And it was at Tonic.
That was your first Tonic show?
Yeah.
I played that show with you.
That's right. You were there then.
That's how I found out about who you were.
Yes.
Who you guys were.
Yeah, that was the first time I ever... I played like one house party, but that wasn't like sort of a house party.
I remember that. That's so funny.
Yeah, no, that was the first one. Damn, that's crazy.
Like my first time performing, like DJing, was with Vinyl Records at the Green Room for an open mic. So it was like kind of spinning before, playing stuff back and forth, and then when everybody started freestyling, I would be the beat selector, basically, so keep everybody freestyling.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, concert-type stuff, it was with Element, and I don't remember what the event was, but it was downtown Sparks, like, outside on a big-ass stage. Mm-hmm. And I just got a new laptop to get Serato up and running. I was all pumped, made sure it all worked, got there. Spinning Wheel of Death got us for like probably 5 to 8 minutes. I had to like restart my computer, try to reboot it. They were like beatboxing. I felt like such a dipshit, but it wasn't my But that was my struggles of the first show, is my computer. Now that's why, maybe that's why I'm so nervous about all my stuff every time we go on stage. And like, is my stuff going to work tonight?
Understand. Yeah, computer.
It was the very first time it took me for a spin.
That's true. Damn. You only have to worry about mics.
That happens.
Yeah, right.
Oh, man. Oh, damn, yeah. Those first show struggles, man. So if you're out there like playing your first couple shows and you're like, this doesn't feel like it's working, trust me, that's how everybody feels. Mm-hmm. Everybody goes through it. What you have to do is learn how to perform better. Practice a lot. That's one thing we can tell you we do. We practice all the time. If we have a show, we'll practice 15 times before we play one show. The same set over and over and over and over. If practice makes perfect. You think Kobe was as good as he was because he didn't practice? Mm-hmm. Jordan didn't practice? No, they practiced more than everybody. That's what gave them the edge. Oh. Put in that extra work, it will go a mile. It will take you so much farther, and I can promise you that from experience. We're old. I'm old as shit up in here. I'm closer to 40 than I am 30. I'll tell you that right now. And we've been doing this for a minute, so yeah. I'm not telling lies. Yep. This is tried and true.
Yeah, and it's got to be official. Like, whole setup, travel to his house, act like we're going to be on stage when we practice every time, 3 times a week, sometimes.
Sometimes more.
Right. Yeah, sometimes more, 2 times a week, and weeks before the show. So,
dude, if I can go to the gym as much as we practice, I'd be in such good shape.
Joked.
I'm so lazy compared to that.
Yeah, and it changes because we started. I never practiced like that with any of my other groups, and then with him, and we started really grinding on the practice. And stages are just second nature now. Being on stage, it changes so much.
Yeah, when you know, we get lucky enough to play out of town a lot now, and so when you go into a different city and it's just you and your two dudes that you rap with and shit, and you're in a city full of people, nobody, you don't know anybody, it's, you know, you have to be comfortable somewhere. You're not comfortable at the merch table because everybody's looking at you because you're from out of town. You're not comfortable backstage because you're from out of town, you know, and nobody really knows you, so the only place you have to make sure you feel comfortable is on stage. That's your one job, is to rock the show. After that, once you do that and then the crowd's like, all right, these guys are, they do their shit, then all of those nerves go away. As soon as we're done, it's like, all right, now I can have a beer and chill. Yeah.
And when we were in Fresno, I'm like having a full-blown meltdown in my head like 20 minutes before we go on. It's like, why am I a rapper, man? Why do I do this?
Yeah, and then so the house DJ, who happens to be part of Living Legends, he announces us like, everybody, I've never heard of these guys before. Make some noise for Glass Lung. And we're like, oh, you motherfucker. And we go up there and we just crush it. And as soon as we got done, he was like, God damn, make some noise for Glass Tongue. And he kept shouting us out. We were on a little run of shows with Grouch and Eli. Yeah. So we were like we were the main opener before the dude they were on tour with Amp Live. So after that, they were like, that DJ was shouting us out before Grouch and Eli went on stage. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, you have to earn their respect. Nobody knows who you are. And everybody's a rapper nowadays. So it's like everybody, their cousin, their mom, everybody fucking raps. So you got to be able to like really bring it and show that you can do it. So sometimes you get put in those positions where it's like make or break. You can't fold. You can't be scared. You can't be intimidated. And it kind of proves to yourself that, you know, okay, I think we can do this, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Like, because Reno's a pretty accepting city of everything. Well,
especially when all your homies are at the show, and you've been rapping in the city for 10 years, you know a bunch of people. It's, you know, it's like,
it's a nice city.
It's just another bigger practice.
City.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I love Reno. That's the reason we rep it the way we do everywhere we go. It's like, Reno has so much talent here that's nobody knows about. You know, there's, I mean, from people who make music videos to people who make beats to artists to rappers to, I mean, every aspect, there's a ton of talent here that nobody knows about. It's a B market in the industry.
M75 going hard.
Dude, there's so many good MCs here, and like, it's just, that's what we're like. We're from Reno. We've got to check out Reno. Come to Reno. It's like, we have something special here. We just need to show these people, you know?
Yep.
And there's a lot of talent in this city.
So true. And I feel like sometimes from the outside, if you don't live here, it gets a bad rep, or it feels like anything. But if, trust me, because I've done it other places, if you're dope here, you are dope anywhere. Like, it's not a different level of dope. Dope is dope if you're this good here or this dope here.
Put yourself in an uncomfortable position in another city.
Mm-hmm. Copy and paste. Yep.
You know? You don't know unless you try, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Hems.
Right on that.
Fire away, boys.
How do you guys handle all the traveling? Do you guys like be doing it real often?
Sometimes. Yes and no. We have these weird spurts where we go on these like runs of shows where we'll do like 5 days on the road, and then we'll play like, you know, a couple home shows, and then we'll get offered another couple of shows out of town. But we were playing shows like this on our, like, booking them ourselves and finding locals in other cities. Like in 2017, 2018, we were doing our own tours back then. A lot of people don't know you can do that, but you can just find a venue and be like, this is my music. This is what we've done. You present yourself just like you would if you were a brand and you're selling something. They'll either book you and they'll be like, hey, who else do you have on the venue? You find some other local cats that'll work with you, do a show trade, say, hey, if you come to Reno, I'll get you a show. You come play with me there. They'll bring their fan base out. You build off their fan base. Now you can do that in 5 cities. If you can do that in 1 week, then you just played in 5 cities you've never been in. You make connections with 3 or 4 other artists in that city. You built off their fans. Now you can go back the next year with a guarantee that you've got people that will open for you. You've got a venue that you've already worked with. So we did that a couple years in a row prior to getting offers like opening for Afro Man on the road or opening for Grouch and Eli. We kind of had to build it our own and show people that we could do it without them. Because if you can do it without them, then they're like, oh, okay, well, they've got something. So if you bring something to the table, people will start fucking with you. So that's kind of how that all started. And we used to have to pay for everything, all the gas, all the hotels. I book everything. I manage everything. You have to leave, drive for 6 hours, get there before sound check, load everything in, go shower, go eat, go back to the venue, be there all night, wake up early as hell, do it again. I mean, it's not glorious, I can tell you that. And nowadays, we get paid a little bit of money. We sell merch. Hotels will get paid for. So it's a little bit easier nowadays. Mm-hmm. But you still got to pack everything inside of a Jeep or something like that and drive for hours and hours and hours and hours. And, you know, your back starts to hurt after a while, that, you know, sitting in a car all day long and then trying to be up until 2 a.m. and then being up at 8 a.m. to leave by 9 to go to the next city. It starts to wear on you. It's not as, you know, in the beginning, it's a real grind. Like, you know, you see like these famous people who are on like tour buses and stuff. That's nice. You don't have to drive. You get to sleep in a bunk. You're basically in a moving house. You know, it's not like that for a very long time in the beginning. You go from your car to like a passenger van. Then if you're lucky, to a tour bus. Most people don't make it to the passenger van. They give up. It's hard. You know, you got to grind for a long time. So it's like,
in that work.
We got to work with each other because, you know, you're stuck in a car with 2 other dudes. You get on each other's nerves. You argue about shit. But when you're really good friends, none of that stuff ever matters. We've never came to a show with any issues. We never come home with any issues. We might butt heads or not like each other and need a couple minutes apart from each other. But the ultimate goal is to crush these shows and build a fan base. And that's the only focus. So nothing else ever really gets in the way.
It's very true. And when you just put the focus on the goal, like, it's a lot easier to manage in ways, especially power and numbers. When you have 3 people that want to do just that, it's going to get done.
Yeah, you might have someone that's not feeling so good or kind of down about it. You know, maybe you didn't have a good show. You know, maybe there's 8 people there and you're playing in the back of a Chinese restaurant in Medford, you know, which is a real thing that happened to us.
Twice.
And yeah, and it's, you know, you're like, God, why are we doing this? You know, we're like, we got paid $100 to do that. We got to go cash this check and the bank is taking a percentage because we don't bank with them. Yeah. Like, we're paying money to play this show. Then, you know, 5 years later, you're like, oh, now we're making a nice little chunk of change and we get to play in a nice, you know, a sold out show in a different city. That's why you do it.
Yeah,
You know, you don't know what's going to come down the road, but when you get to play in front of 500 people in a city you're not from and you're the, you know, the main opener for the tour, that's when things start really working out. That's when you can sell merch and make money and just don't stop. Like you said, just keep grinding. And just keep grinding.
And, like, understanding things. Like, when I was, before I got with him, because he has been doing a lot of stuff on a bigger level before I got and we started Glass Tongue. So, oh, man, I say so much. But, yeah, keep grinding and just don't ever stop. I like so many bands would say I can't even start on one.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the traveling though? Because you're always quiet about everything. You keep everything inside.
I mean, it's usually fun.
I believe him. You don't lie.
Yeah. Sometimes I mean it's like, fuck, this night's late, and then we gotta wake up. Like you said, it gets tiring. Gotta pack up all my stuff. Try and hope that the Jeep doesn't break. Find a Yukon to rent or like a Yukon XL Uber. Hoping that the turntables fit in the back.
That happened too, remember? Oh, in my San God. Francisco.
Because they're all in a coffin, so you need something big to fit it in and us. So, yeah, there's struggles, but overall, it's a good time. I wouldn't keep wanting to do it if it wasn't a good time.
Yeah, definitely got to have fun in this. 100%.
Yeah, I feel you on that. So I would say that's what y'all enjoy most about being a musician is live performances, going out there and traveling, seeing the road.
Absolutely. That's one of the biggest benefits is, like, you know, I mean, I wouldn't go to Ashland, other, you know, in Oregon. I would no reason to go there unless I was playing a show. But then you go there and you meet really cool people, and it's a dope little town. Like, they got cool-ass smoke shops. Like, it's really cool, especially when you get to make essentially friends with people who listen to your music. You go back, they come to your show every time. You know them, you're like, oh, Jared, where's your girlfriend at? Like, you know them, they're your homies now. And that's the best part, too. It's because it's like you start to build relationships with strangers over a bonding of your music, which is crazy. Because I'm like, I'm a terrible rapper. I'm self-deprecating. Like, why do you like me? And they're like, well, because I'm that person, too. So it's like, all right, we're the same.
You're like, I feel welcomed.
Exactly. <That's awesome>. Exactly.
Sorry. I just popped in my head what I was going to say.
Just
had one little tiny thing to add. Oh, yeah. And anybody rapping out there, like, I used to think when I was young, like, I would perform for a rapper who was coming through who I looked up to, and he would notice me. And it would be all good, and he would take me with him. And, like, nobody's going to do anything for you.
That's so rare.
Nobody's going to give you a chunk of their money because they're going to make it at that show, too. It just doesn't happen. But your own ride is right there, and you can do the exact same thing.
Yeah, leading off of that, if you guys want to do something in music, find an artist that you like that's successful and build a model plan off of what they're doing. Post the way they post. You know, just look at the way they do stuff and why they're popular and try to do the same thing but with your own touch to it. Don't copy them, obviously, because that's just whack. But, I mean, there's no recipe or blueprint to succeed in music. It's different for everybody. Some people are overnight stars, you know. I mean, you know, SoundCloud rappers like that, they get found. There's people that have been grinding for 15 years. There's people that write songs in the industry that people don't even know that are millionaires. You never even heard their name because Post Malone sings their songs. I mean, there's no recipe. So if you can find a way to do it that works for you, do that. Don't think that you need to copy somebody else if it doesn't work for you. If it does, follow that 100% because there's a lot of deterrence and a lot of people that are going to hate on you, a lot of people that are going to want to stop you, and you have to block all of that out. Because, I mean, if I stopped making music the first time someone's like, you're not good at music or you're not going to be successful, I would have been done 15 years ago. You know, it's like, you know, use that as fuel. Use that as fuel to prove them wrong.
100%.
I agree with that. The farther you get away with that fuel, you know, you start to realize, you start to look back, you're like, I already made it this far.
Exactly.
What's the sense of turning back? I can keep going. And you still got the skill set, you know? You're not back where you were when you started.
100%. It's true. I used to think when I very first started that I didn't even know if I could ever record a song, let alone would I ever think to get to play a show. And now I've gotten to open up for people that I grew up listening to, like people that I still listen to this day. And it's like some of them I have a first name basis with, you know, and it's like every time they come to town, we open for them guaranteed. It's not even a question. I don't have to ask it. If they're touring here, we're opening. And it's like been like that for 10 years with them. And it's like I met you when you were on tour for someone bigger and I looked up to you and now we're acquaintances. Like, and that shit's real and it can happen, you know, so.
Yeah, it's been nuts.
It's been pretty crazy.
All right, you guys want to play some of your music real quick?
Sure. Yeah, I think we sent you a couple tracks.
Awesome, awesome.
I think we got it set for us.
Right on, jam it out.
Perfect. All right.
I came back from being wasted, but still addicted. Born dragon, so I chase it. I'm just trying to trade all these smiles for a spaceship to leave. My world's been spinning since the blade shift. I find solace from the sounds of a speaker box. I couldn't find it in a shrink or a priest from God. No college, no career, always leaving jobs. No peas and pods, looking for some decent odds. No significance, others galaxies away. Can't sleep at night, how the fuck can I seize the day? Stone belligerent, just trying to mold this piece of clay into a better me with dreams that it leads the way. I'm tall enough to stand out, but I'm still overlooked. Who wants to read a million pages? They just close the book. It wouldn't catch the eye, it's dirty like a rose's foot. Hoping I could swim by quick before we close the hook. Sending shivers into my bones. Throw my hoodie up and walk, fighting my way home. The moonlight illuminating everything it might touch. While I'm thinking on thinking and how I might do it too much. But I've been dope from my cranium, down to my calcaneus. Too many fucks to give, lost inside my brainy wit. Going through the day to day, living with these veiny wrists. Slice them open and drown in the passion I've been dealing with. I'm going nowhere soon, that's what my devil likes to say. That angel says hit the bar at noon and get blown away. Mayday, you can only blame it on the captain. To climb out of my beer bottle boneyard like nothing happened. I'm nothing but a problem wrapped up in a mess. Take another breath, hopefully you'll forget. Looking out the window at a peer on his quest. When I'm only out to kill the man who beat the horse to death. Believers take a knee to make them bleed. Wait and see which way it teeters. It's living room therapy. Dip the noose in kerosene. The kid in juice can barely breathe. Kiss the moon, then bury me. Daddy loved the drugs more. Mom, she was a drunk whore. Grew up in the trailer court, sleeping on the mud floor. Big brother lost his way. Middle brother rots away. Little brother in the oven. Little son thoughts display. Problem child, caution tape. Probably should be locked away. Popped a wild, caught the smile. Walked him out, got lost in space. Fast forward 10 years. Crash course, head steer. Stepping out the back door. Mad poor, that's near. Smelling of a whiskey. Dwelling in self-pity. I'm dealing with the shell of myself in this hellish city. Like I'm worn out. But I'm also feeling born again. Torn within. Stuck between the stork and fin. It's soar or swim.
Heard that song in a long time.
That's been a minute.
I don't really listen to our old music.
Yeah, not a lot.
No. Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah.
That hung on nice.
We got a double feature on that track. Yeah. We got our boy Melancholy and then the big homie Greaves, who's on Rhymesayers for like 10 years. He's the guy who did the hook on that. He's got that velvety singing voice. Just the new one.
We've been gung-ho, asking where the phone go. Cause this has been a blast, we spit gas and never run low. If we on the show, make sure your ass is in the front row. Cause we don't finish last, we go 0 to 100. This is action-packed, don't relax, we surpass the cusp. Punt every track, then match what an assassin does. Bring the best till we turn our lives back to dust. That's where they find it hard to grab the mics after us. Turn scrap and rust to platinum cuff. Can't match, then this life just ain't attractive enough. We never hold back, we want the whole stack. Never fall flat, in case you didn't know that. I tell them this is no crap.
praise. Check the time that's elapsed. They say amazed like we shining beams of life in the crack. Keep it moving forward, never hold tight to the past. We fly fast, we view life through both sides of the glass. We're coasting through while the rest are just slow to move. We broke the loop, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. Only a chosen few, gifted with infinite view, glass tongue. Most improved. We don't pay attention to these silly little rap guys. We can flip a show like a boat that's being capsized. We set the template, the rest are here to follow suit. We've been invested, the rest just have a hollow view. It's kinda funny when comparing chess to checkers. They never stood a chance, we advance from best to better. And even at a glance, I see they're bad with text and letters. And that's the reason that their dream is standing next to never. But the rest of you have settled and we decided to level up. Never getting comfortable or stuck inside the devil's clutch. If you didn't notice, you're dealing with a higher breed. We've been infinite like Hyro since 93. We paid our dues, now aiming to try and break the cycle. While we're making moves, we see that you're trying to make it viral. A lack of love, no heart or brains to back it up. We pack a punch, you need a crowd rip and ask for us. We're coasting through while the rest are just slow to move. We broke the loop, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. Only a chosen few, gifted with an open view. Glass tongue. Most improved, improved, improved.
Hey.
Spicy scratches.
For real.
Spicy scratches. Hey, well, thank you guys so much for being a part of this.
Thank you for having us,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, thank you very
much. Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, it was an honor.
It was an honor for you. 100% an honor for us, seriously. This is super cool. I usually get real nervous when I have, like, to talk to people. I'm terrible at the merch table. Unless I'm drunk. You guys made me feel mad comfortable, so thank you, seriously.
Of course. Yeah.
Seriously, you guys are good at this, so.
That's why we call this smooth conversations.
Yeah, it goes by quick when you're having fun with good homies, right?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, for real, it's on that. Well, thank you, guys.
Absolutely, thank you.
Thank you, everybody, as well, watching.
Appreciate you.
We've been gung-ho, asking where the fun go. Cause this has been a blast, we spit gas and never run low. If we on the show, make sure your ass is in the front row. Cause we don't finish last, we go 0 to 100. This is action-packed, don't relax, we surpass the cuss. Punt every track, then match what an assassin does. Bring the best till we turn our lives back to dust. That's where they find it hard to grab the mics after us. Turn scrap and rust to platinum cuff. Can't match, then this life just ain't attractive enough. We never hold back, we want the whole stack. Never fall flat, in case you didn't know that. I tell them this is no craze, check the time that's elapsed. They say amazed like we shining beams of life in the crack. Keep it moving forward, never hold tight to the past. We fly fast, we view life through both sides of the glass. We're coasting through while the rest are just slow to move. We broke the loop, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. Only a chosen few, gifted with an open view. Glass tongue. Most improved. We don't pay attention to these silly little rap guys. We can flip a show like a boat that's being capsized. We set the template, the rest are here to follow suit. We've been invested, the rest just have a hollow view. It's kinda funny when comparing chess to checkers. They never stood a chance, we advance from best to better. And even at a glance, I see they're bad with text and letters. And that's the reason that their dream is standing next to never. But the rest of you have settled and we decided to level up. Never getting comfortable or stuck inside the devil's clutch. If you didn't notice, you're dealing with a higher breed. We've been infinite like Hyro since 93. We paid our dues, now aiming to try and break the cycle. While we're making moves, we see that you're trying to make it viral. A lack of love, no heart or brains to back it up. We pack a punch, you need a crowd rip and ask for us. We're coasting through while the rest are just slow to move. We broke the loop, that's exactly what we're supposed to do. Only a chosen few, gifted with an open view. Glass tongue. Most improved, improved, improved.